Welcome back to Exodus, chapter 3 today, and take off your sandals, everyone, because this chapter is holy ground.
You're not actually going to make us take our shoes off, are you?
Well, no, but I do approach this chapter with awe and wonder. This story is critical to the whole Bible, one of the great revelations of who God is, plus the calling of Moses. I'm a little awestruck here. I think my shoes might take themselves off.
While Chris figures out his footwear issues, why don't I get us started? Our story opens up on the far side of the desert in Midian. 40 years have passed since Moses fled from Egypt, and in verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So after 4 decades, Moses is tending sheep.
The humility of Moses' situation is impressive. Remember that Moses grew up as an Egyptian prince in the house of Pharaoh. Now he's a humble shepherd. Genesis tells us that Egyptians despise shepherds, and these aren't even his own sheep.
I like the phrase, the far side of the wilderness. An apt description for Moses' situation, and the name of the mountain is Horeb, later called Sinai. And here, the mountain of God.
Then verse 2. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So Moses sees a bush on fire and wants a closer look, sort of a double vision.
Chris?
What?
We're not doing this again, are we?
Doing what?
Double vision? Foreigner songs?
No, man. That was yesterday.
Chris, that was yesterday is a foreigner song.
You know that one? I'm sorry. I have a problem.
Back in our story, Moses takes a closer look. And in verse 4, when the Lord saw he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am.
Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God.
Moses has some good sense here. To look at God was not for mankind. And yet, God appeared. He was there. And you can't help but see a connection to Jesus. The Word became flesh, God in our midst.
And I love God's introduction here. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was Jesus who quoted this verse to show us that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Abraham died centuries earlier, yet God is still presently the God of Abraham, living Isaac and Jacob.
No time for Moses to ponder that. Verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites.
So God lays it all out, and Moses gets a glimpse into God's nature, God's heart, and God's calling on his own life. In response to oppression and suffering, the Lord declares, I have seen, I have heard their cry, I am concerned, and I have come down to rescue. And here, the great theme of the book. This is a redemption story. And for anyone in the midst of suffering, crying out to God, this story is for you. And for anyone in sin, slavery in the Bible is a picture of sin. And when you are under the heavy hand of sin's oppression, and you cry out to God, the Lord hears, the Lord cares, and the Lord has come down to rescue.
And God's rescue for Israel isn't just getting them out. It is bringing them in, into a land flowing with milk and honey, the good stuff. God's plan for them is good, and for us. Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly.
But now look at verse 10. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God isn't just telling Moses, he's sending him.
Then verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's a reasonable question. Who is Moses? He tried to rescue and failed. Now a shepherd and 40 years in the desert taught Moses some proper humility.
Verse 12, and God said, I will be with you. This is the only thing that matters. God with us. Whatever your calling, no matter how impossible the odds, the Lord said, I have come down to rescue. Moses is not alone, and one humble person plus God beats any army.
Back in verse 12, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.
Then in 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? I think Moses remembers here the man who challenged his authority. Or maybe the Egyptians got to him. Their gods all had names. Why doesn't yours? And remember that name is associated with character. What is the character of this God? So Moses asks.
In verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So the name of God is I am who I am? What does that mean? He is what?
This is so big. This is what we read the Bible for. God revealing who he is. And he is who he is. 10 million theologians could expound on this verse and still not do it justice. He is bigger than existence, bigger than words, bigger than our minds can comprehend. The only thing that you can compare God to is God. He is.
Then in verse 15, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.
So this is God's name forever. It's as if God wrote an unfinished sentence. I am dot, dot, dot. And the blank is filled in throughout the Bible, throughout our lives, throughout the glory of all creation. And Jesus will write in, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world and the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Again, no time for Moses to ponder here. The Lord tells Moses to go, assemble the elders, and tell them. They will listen, then go together to Pharaoh, and in verse 18, say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. Yet God knows that Pharaoh won't do it, not without some serious signs and wonders. So God has a plan. For Moses, the task is simple. Trust and obey.
Will Moses do it? Read chapter 3 now, and we'll see how Moses responds next time. And you can put your shoes back on. After you read.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.